Welcome back to Regardless, the podcast for women done keeping up. My name is Skylar Sorkin, and every week we talk about the things that everyone is thinking, but no one is actually saying, so you can stay you, real, regardless of what the world tells you you should be. And today is a very special day. It's my 28th birthday. And to help me in turning almost 30, I am sitting down with the Crystal Williams.
I am your steward and guide for this journey. Happy birthday, sis. Now that I'm 30, I can help you.
Like, truly, it's an honor. I feel like you don't even need a proper, like, introduction because everyone listening should know who you are. But because you deserve one, and I adore you.
Let's do it.
Crystal Williams, you are the co-host of Almost 30 with over 800 plus episodes, which is absolutely bonkers, and over 100 million plus in listeners worldwide. And I'm very excited because your debut book just launched, and it's all about really how do you create a life that you love in the next decade and beyond. I feel like I need this. I think regardless of what age you're turning, we're always almost turning something. So younger sis to older sis, like, I just want to have a real
I'm clocked in. I'm clocked in for my girl. I'm clocked in for your journey. It feels – honestly, I feel like your generation, I will say, like, with a slight eye, is you guys are just so much more aware and conscious and prepared and further along than I was. I feel like when I was almost 30, when we started the podcast, my best friend Lindsay and I on our closet floors, we were so lost and we felt so – behind in life. We felt like I was 27 at the time and I wasn't married. I didn't have kids. I wasn't in my dream career. I didn't have a house. I didn't have a savings. Like, I didn't have anything in what people define as a life that you should be living or a life that's good. And neither did Lindsay. And so we came together at our rock bottom moment and decided to start a conversation around this feeling that we were having and the way that we wanted to change our lives and learn more and grow. And so to have someone like you who feels so far along and so processed and so mature, it just, like, it blows me away.
What?
Yeah. I just
– You're like, crazy.
It's crazy.
Well, I think also, like, you're seeing, you know, more of, like, the polished side of me. Totally.
Like, you're not – You're like, I've got a blazer on right now. Everyone, listen up.
Yeah. Like, you're not seeing, like, the low light of the moments that I do have, which we – all have. And I think especially almost turning 30, like you just said, there's so much stress about, like, where we should be. And Krista, for me, and I hear this, like, amongst my friends, just, like, this comparison. How did you navigate that?
So I think that's a great question. I think the first thing I think anyone could get curious about when we think about comparison is you only compare to something that you really want. So we could have a room full of women and one woman could be, I'm comparing because she has a successful career and she looks like it's so easy because she wants that. Another woman could be like, wow, that woman looks like she could be comparing herself to a woman that has a husband and kids because she really wants to be a mother. And so seeing the comparison as a guide to what you really want in life. For me, as an example, I've always been really jealous of women that are super successful in career. I've always wanted a big career. I've always wanted a really successful business. And so I'm always jealous of women that have big careers. I never really get jealous of women in their romantic relationships. I never really get jealous of women. And
that's really interesting.
No, I I'm divorced. I've had, I just have always had really beautiful relationships with men and I've always trusted my path with men and I've never felt like I didn't have love in my life with men. And so I've always felt chosen. I've always felt loved, even though I've had, I've been cheated on. I've had situations. Love in my life has always felt good and I've never felt like it wasn't for me. So that's fine. But yeah, success is something that I want. So noticing where comparison is really guiding you to what you want in life and how can you use it as, like, a fuel or an inspiration. And if it isn't a fuel or an inspiration, just, like, cutting it out. You know, like, blocking them on social media, muting them on social media, like, choosing to not engage. Like, I have to not engage with the things that make me crazy or make me feel less than. And I think we can all give ourselves permission to do that.
Thank you for saying this. This is wild. I was just on a walk with, like, my girlfriend the other day, and I so feel you on this one. I think when I think about calling in the love of my life, mm-hmm. there's no fear around yes, that. I don't know what happened, like with parenting mm-hmm. or like why I feel this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's great.
Like there's no question, like it is inevitable yeah. that I will meet the love of my life. Mm-hmm. But like you, girl, mm-hmm. when it comes to my career, mm-hmm. I'm so much more triggered
yes.
about like finances mm-hmm. and like the successful girl that we see on yeah. Instagram. So interesting.
Yeah. And some of my friends are like only relationship focused. Like I have one of my friends that's only comparing relationships, only comparing, you know, people that they date or whatever. And so it just is one of those things like we're kind of given the cards that we're dealt. And I've had to, with my success wound, like this part of me, I'm more successful than I've ever been. My life is beautiful and I still have it. Like it's just still something that I really work on where I need to feel worthy enough and I need to feel like I am loved and I am okay if I'm not pushing, if I'm not overachieving, if I'm not, you know, just doing the most to be successful because doing the most isn't going to make you even successful in the end. So that's beautiful that you have the love on lock and you know that's coming. And then success is your thing. So how do you deal with comparison? Like how does comparison hit you?
Thank you for asking me that.
Yeah.
This is a great question.
Yeah.
I think for me, very similar to you, I think if I'm finding myself in the comparison trap, mm-hmm. which is so normal and we all go through it, mm-hmm. I will try to understand that, look, I'm feeling this way for a reason.
Right.
And it's because they have something that inspires me. Mm-hmm. They have something that I want for myself one day. Mm-hmm. But I think also that if it's bringing out another like negative side of me,
yeah.
then I need to protect my mental mm-hmm. and create those boundaries,
yeah.
whether it is muting, unfollowing, or just not putting myself in those situations.
Yeah.
But I think typically it's like, it means that we also want that.
Mm-hmm. I think it happens. So I'll say three things. I think first of all, comparison really comes up when we're up leveling.
Yep.
Like when we're on the precipice of something big, something growth oriented, when we're changing our lives in a way that's leading us to greater success and bigness and beauty, we usually look around and compare because we're kind of trying to keep ourselves small to be safe. So sometimes when we're really at those really big moments in our life where we're entering a new chapter and a phase and we're really just on that growth edge, we're going to compare more because there's a part of us that wants to keep us small out of fear. And then secondly, I think when we find ourselves comparing, for me, it's like oftentimes when I'm tired and when I'm just got too much going on and I just am more susceptible. Like I've been thinking about this a lot lately with some of my clients, like our brain and our psyche is so much more susceptible to information that hurts our feelings, that makes us feel less than, that makes us feel not worthy, or makes us feel like, you know, we're not enough when we're tired. Yeah. Like it is very simple, but when you are tired, you're going to take all that on. And I've noticed that in myself when I'm rested and well-fed and well-nourished and I'm spending time with friends and I'm working on purpose and I'm balanced, I don't really compare.
Yeah.
So there's a self-care element. When you're really taking care of yourself, you don't really compare as much. And then just lastly, just remembering that our brain is programmed to compare. Like it's actually very natural. When we walk into a room, we're looking at, you know, this is a tall ceiling versus a short ceiling. This is a red thing versus a yellow thing. This person is tall versus short. You know, this person is, you know, nice versus mean. Like we're kind of always comparing everything. So our brain naturally wants to do that. It's just the addition of the phone, which gives us the opportunity to compare at a rate that's just unheard of. And so taking time off social media is going to really be a thing for people that can really change their life if they're kind of in a spiral.
I agree. That was so helpful. And also like understanding the science behind this makes you feel like, okay, like I'm not crazy and there's a reason why I'm feeling this way.
Yes.
And this is normal. Even coming from a wildly successful woman like yourself, I look up to you. I'm inspired by you. And there was probably a time where I'm like, comparing myself to you.
Yeah, it's weird. I was doing that recently with a friend who I perceive to be very successful.
Yeah.
It comes easy for her and I have all the stories around it.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's easy for her. Everything works out. And like my boyfriend was saying, he's like, you know, people do that to you. He's like, people do that to you too. And I was like, yeah. And I don't want them to, you know, I want people to live their truth. And it's weird because I'm like, why are they doing that to me when I don't feel like, so what happens too, and that's a great point, is we always move the goalpost. So for me, I remember, I'll never forget when I wanted to be a blogger and a Soul Cycle instructor many moons ago, and like 10 years ago, before almost 30, I was like, I'm going to be the best blogger and Soul Cycle instructor. There was this girl that was a blogger and Soul Cycle instructor, and I looked up to her. She was like, I was like, oh my God, she's my idol. And then I started building Almost 30. Mm-hmm. It blew up in a way, and I surpassed her. And it was just interesting because when she was ahead of me, I was like looking at her, but then I grew, and then but I didn't compliment myself. I found someone bigger.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, just kidding. You're gone. Now I'm going to find, you know, the biggest person on earth to look at.
Yeah, literally.
And even, you know, Mel Robbins, who's a friend, she's amazing. So many women right now are comparing themselves to her in our space. I do as well. She's such an icon. And it's just like, I'm comparing myself to someone that's been in the game for 20 plus years. It's like, you're never going to win. And also, it doesn't give your soul the opportunity to have its own unique path. That's unique and beautiful and special to you. And for so many women that are listening, you all are very unique souls that came here to do something unique and came here to do something different. And so your path is not might not be a blueprint that you see online. It might be something that's completely unique to you. Mm-hmm. And having enough self-trust is going to be a huge part of your process.
Powerful shit.
Mm-hmm.
Question for you. With all of this to be said, like someone listening at home who feels stuck and they're in their messy, they're on the bathroom floor, like you went, like where you and Lindsay were. How do you trust in your own unique path and know to the depths of your body that it's something that you're not going to see on Instagram or social media? Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But how can we, instead of like feeling fearful about turning a year older or evolvement or comparing ourselves to the clock. How do you just trust in the becoming of who you are, like regardless of all of that shit?
That's such a good question. That's like such a hard hitting question. Yeah. And in thinking about that, you know, there was many times in my life I didn't trust. And so I think I can tell people to trust. That can sound nice. Trust the timing of your life. And honestly, like there would be points in my path where I'd be like, you don't shut up. You don't even know what you're talking about. So I can tell people to trust and hope that they do. But what I did instead of really just trusting was I just made progress in the way that I knew would impact me in a positive way. So whether that was starting to meditate and really getting a hold on my mental health, or whether that was walking more, or whether that was cutting out a toxic friend, whether that was, you know, choosing to create the website for the business that I was building. Like you can forego trust if that doesn't feel accessible to you and just do what you can control. Just do what you know taking a step today is going to do. In this energy healing training that I did, they had this phrase called only for today. So if only for today I was to make progress, what would that look like? Meditation, a walk, journaling, you know, starting the website. And that actually builds self-trust, which is the most important thing. So we can trust God, we can trust the creator, we can trust others for sure. Sometimes that's hard. You know, it can be hard to be like, how do I trust God when like all of this stuff in the world? How do I trust my friends when like I've been hurt in the past? Yeah. So all we can really do is cultivate self-trust by really honoring ourselves and the commitment that we make to ourselves.
That's epic. It's interesting. Like if you were to speak to me 2 months ago, I was in a much more like rockier phase and era in my life. Yeah. And truly over the past 2 weeks, I decided to make like only for today, one decision. I didn't know that's what it was.
Totally.
But now I do.
Yeah. You're like only for today.
Only for today.
This is my merch. You're like new podcast called Only for Today.
So, no, truly.
It's huge. What have been some of those steps as an example for people?
Thank you for asking. I would say, oh my God, this is a big one that I'm announcing right now. Deciding that I wasn't going to be dropping episodes every Monday.
Love it.
That I would only be dropping episodes that felt intentional when I wanted to, because I got to this point of being so burnt out, trying to do more, be more, keep up. And I'm like, this is not getting me where I actually want to be. And I think the moment that I trusted in myself to make that decision, holy moly guacamole. The universe, source, like ideas through me, opportunities through me. But I think what happens is, especially in our late 20s and 30s, is that we're constantly comparing ourselves to what age am I turning next year? Oh my God, 30s after that. Oh my God, then it's 31, 34, 38, 39, 40, mm-hmm. 59, 69, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And so I think for myself, it's like, how can we start to create like our own definition of success? And like, I'm curious for you, Krista, like, what has it been like for you on the other side mm-hmm. of turning like almost 30? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. where are you now versus mm-hmm. some of the feelings that you were feeling when you were 28, 29?
Mm. So in my 28, 29, I was struggling so much with a desire to find purpose in a way that was causing me so much mental health mm-hmm. issues. I was like, what am I doing here? I want to serve. I want to do something big. It was almost like my success monster, we'll call it, just was like gnawing me and keeping me up at night. So whereas it seems really good to want to be successful, this was like would never leave me alone. So I was in a place where I was just really struggling with my mental health. I was struggling with my body. Like I really just hated my body. I wanted to always be thinner. I wanted to always look a different way. And I just made myself, you know, I really tortured myself with my body. So I was just someone that was really hard on myself, really tortured myself. I really struggled. And then now to be, you know, in my 30s and just feel like, gosh, you know, I'm not perfect and I believe I could be more successful, but to have the ability now and the sight to see where I am successful, and that is, I'm an amazing person. I live a life of integrity. I have friends that love me that I'm in true relationship with. Mm. I'm able to give and receive love. Mm. I have beautiful relationship with my family that I never thought I would. And it's like more the intangible things rather than the bank account focused things or the numbers focused things. I always say that when we're following the path of numbers, that's not the path of our soul. So when we're following the weight to be, you know, successful, when we're following the follower count to be successful, when we're following the bank account to be successful, we know we're not on the right path. And for me, I was doing all of those things. And when I really let go of that and I really just allowed my life to be defined by how much love I have in it and by the relationships that I have and by the type of person that I have, I mean, everything's changed. And I feel so at peace and so... yeah, like grateful is just an understatement.
But it took like a lot of work for you to get there. Much. Mm-hmm. And I really feel this concept of a success monster, like that's...
oh my gosh, I know.
Krista?
Success monster is...
holy...
She is wild.
Moly. And I feel like all of us, we have our different monsters.
Oh yeah, it's a great one.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And how, like, what are some of the ways that you... her?
Yes, okay. Yeah, so success monster. So I work with – do you know internal family systems?
Yes. You know.
Okay. Yeah. So I love parts work. So internal family systems is a psychotherapy technique that I teach and study, and it's one of my favorites. And basically it helps personify these aspects of us because you know that there's a part of you that believes that success is having a life that's loving and peaceful. You know, there's a part of you that is outside of success monster.
Yeah, totally.
So success monster talks, but there's also other parts.
Yeah.
The part that wants to chill, the part that wants to rest, the part that wants to just like YOLO. So when we have a success monster or the part of us that's just so loud and just has so much to say, I think the first thing that I try and do is like unblend it from me and just kind of get curious and listen. So for me, my success monster will be like, oh, you need to have more followers. You need to have more content. She'll kind of have all this stuff to say. And when it's almost like I can turn to her or turn to that voice, you can journal this too. Okay. And have a conversation or a dialogue as my highest self. So the highest self is talking to her.
Yep.
I can get a lot of information because what our success monster in our case, she's not always wrong. You know, I think the way that success monster goes about trying to get our attention and trying to get love isn't the way that we know how to get love now. Success monster believes that she has to be successful to be loved. She thinks that without being successful, we're not loved. You know, we won't have a relationship. We won't have money. We'll be abandoned. All of those things. And so when we can talk to her and just like, hey,
yep.
It does not mean that you need to be like successful to not be abandoned. I still love you. I honor you. I accept you. So we can love ourselves and our success monster just as a whole. And then also too, getting curious if like, the success monster has any helpful information. So I don't believe that our inner critics are just only bad. Mm-hmm. I believe that they have a lot of information. So I will use my inner critic as my coach sometimes, or the success monster, where I will get curious about, you know, she's saying I need to go viral on Instagram to be loved or successful. And I'll be like, okay, what does that mean? That maybe could mean I should focus more on my content. Maybe she's kind of right. She's probably not approaching it in the right way, she has some good information. So using your inner critic or your success monster as your coach, but not having them lead or take you too far away from your truth, and then unblending them from you so that you can remember that there's a whole being outside of just the belief you need to be successful, and just kind of tempering her and letting her know she is loved no matter what.
Regardless,
exactly.
Beautiful. And I'm even noticing, I mean, success monster, body monster,
yeah,
like in every aspect,
yeah,
of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially as women.
Did you have body monster at all?
Oh my God, did I have body monster?
I know.
I still have body monster.
I know. Yeah, literally. Yeah. She is she in the room with us? Yeah. She's like, she actually is right here. She's very little. She's actually very little body monster. Yeah.
Yes.
Body monster is cultural, body monster is familial, body monster is ancestral, body monster is, mm-hmm, it's a very prevalent, and I think personally body monster is what keeps so many women from living lives of their fullest expression of their truth. I think so many women hold themselves back because of body monster.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tell me why.
I mean, I'll take myself as an example. For so long, I was like, I'm going to go on stage when I lose weight.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I'm going to do the YouTube when I lose weight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, you know, if I lose weight, I'll do YouTube. If I lose weight, I'll do this. If I lose weight, I'll do the photo shoot. If I lose weight. And a lot of women are, if I lose weight, I can be loved. If I lose weight, I can go for that promotion. If I lose weight, I'll go on that vacation. If I lose weight, I'll wear that bikini. If I lose weight, I'll wear those jeans. Mm-hmm. If I lose weight, like their whole life is almost living on the other side of weight loss or changing their body. And it's heartbreaking because it's just such a thing that is holding people back. And I don't know if they realize it as deeply as it is.
No, it's, you can be in prison.
In prison.
And it's horrible to see. And I think with every single theme that we're touching on right now, I feel like this is just a universal experience as women, especially when turning like a year older and aging and not being where you thought you should be.
Where do you think you should be?
Yeah.
For you, what do you think you should be? Yeah. Because I think that's a very important question that I think when people have the monsters, it's like, what is, if you think, okay, so my success monster, if I was to turn to her and say, what do you think I should, what would make my life more successful? What do you think I should be doing? Or who do you think I should be? She'd be like, oh, you should have 1 million followers. Or you should be doing this or doing that. It's like, okay, I'm hearing you. But a lot of us don't even have a definition of what success is. So we're just kind of chasing something that's nebulous. We're like, oh yeah, I should be more successful, but we haven't even defined what success is. And a lot of us are already living a life that we define as successful. I have food, clothes, abundance. Yep. You know what I mean? It's like, so I think for you, what would be your definition of a success?
Well, I think it's changed dramatically in the past 2 weeks because I finally got out of my own way.
Wow.
I think before I had a vision in my early 20s, coming up to my later 20s, of like what I thought regardless was going to look like and what I thought the path was going to look like. Mm-hmm. And it is turning into something like we just discussed about your journey, that you wanted to start off being a blogger and a soul cycle instructor. But if you never got out of your own way, if you were never curious, if you never tried something different, if you never allowed yourself to be so authentic to your voice and your message and your path, regardless of the noise, we wouldn't be here. Yeah. And so I think the last 2 weeks, I've really had this like come to Jesus moment where I'm like, Sky, what is your truth? What are you needing right now? What makes the most sense? Mm-hmm. And is also filling you up. Mm-hmm. And now like in real time, things are showing up and things are pivoting in ways that I couldn't have ever imagined before. But it's just because I've been willing to like get out of my own way. Mm-hmm. And like surrender to the plan and what is literally in front of me for this next year. But if I like held so tightly onto what I thought, regardless, is or should be, I don't think I would be feeling this way right now.
Which is powerful. And I think people fear letting go. They fear surrender so much. They fear, if I don't push it and if it doesn't happen this way, it's never going to happen. And so often God is like, I'm trying to give you a life beyond what you could even know if you would just loosen the grip. I've noticed that in my own life. You know, I'll be working so hard towards one thing. I'm like, success looks like this specific thing. And because I'm so like anchored on that, God won't do it. Yeah. But then God will be like, what about this?
Yeah.
Like, I'll never forget. I did this national commercial last year, and I've never wanted to do a national commercial. I don't care about doing that. But because I didn't care about it, I didn't really even want it, it came through. You know what I mean? It was wait, like,
so why? Like, why is that?
Because we have no resistance to it. And because I don't, when I'm pushing towards something, I'm saying it's not here. My energy is like, it's not here. This is not enough. So the energetics of it is, it's not here. This is not enough. It's of not and of lack. And when the thing with the commercial comes, I don't have any frequency to that. I'm like, oh, beautiful. This yeah. came in. I don't have any resistance. There's no resistance to something that's meant for me. So it's actually beautiful for people to kind of diversify how they're spending time and energy, because I don't always think it's good for you to spend all of your energy on one thing, because it kind of creates this situation where you could be reducing the amount of energy coming back to you because you're only putting energy out.
Okay, so how did you navigate this concept of knowing it's inevitable, kind of like the whole relationship thing we were chatting about in the beginning, how both of us, our relationship to relationships and love is like, it's inevitable. It's already mine.
Yeah.
How did you switch that, like pivot that moment of going from like lack thereof with career and success to then manifesting creating, building, pioneering almost 30.
So it was interesting because I didn't – Success Monster had no idea. Like, she was, like, so focused on something else. So she was, like, busy. She was booked and busy. She was on her little laptop. Like, we are about to blog and we are about to do all this stuff. And I was, like, I just love Lindsay and I love talking and I love our connection. And so Success Monster had no idea what it could be. So she wasn't bothering me. So I was just like, oh, let's record. Let's try this. Let's try that. Let's do this. So there was no resistance. Okay. I was doing it out of the genuine love of podcasting, the genuine love of Lindsay, and the genuine truth of the experience that I was going through. And so there was no resistance at all. And so we created something that was so genuine and from the heart and that just kind of built because we didn't know what it could be. And so I think people now have – they're a lot luckier because there's so many blueprints you could see online and social media. You could be like, oh, she's, you know, she's a cook and then she works on retreats and then she's also a teacher and, you know, all of these things. And it's like, okay, cool. That's expansive. I could do that. But then also it kind of limits you.
Yep.
And I think because there was no other podcasters doing what we did, courses, programs, retreats, you know, tour at the time, that I didn't even know, like, I couldn't compare myself to anything and I didn't know it could become anything. So it really kind of Success Monster kind of turned towards almost 30, probably like 2 years after when we had quit our jobs and we were building the business. And then she was like, oh my God, now we really got to make this happen and kind of logged on. But at the beginning, it was just the joy and pleasure of creation. And I, to be honest in my truth, I don't know if I will ever have an experience like that again. Just because now a part of me knows that I can make money being myself in anything that I do. So anything that I do, I'm like, oh, I can make money doing this. You know, like it kind of just taints a lot of things. Like I even – it's hard for me to read spiritual texts and watch spiritual podcasts and research spiritual topics because whatever I do, I'm like, I'm going to make this into content. I'm going to make this into teaching. Like it has ruined a lot for me, to be completely honest with you. But – my hope and wish is that for anyone to experience what it feels like to create something from your genuine desire and joy and just the freedom of expression.
That's a rarity too.
Very rare. I mean, did you feel like that?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
But mine's been a little bit of a different pathway and I'm open to it because listen, I'm like younger Krista.
She's flexible and free.
I'm flexible and free.
And she's open to the possibility. And that's the thing is like also God is creative. God is going to like bring through and do things. Like now I look in my career, I'm like, oh, I thought I wanted to be a SoulCycle instructor so bad. Like, girl, I was like, I need to get on the bike and I need to lead the room to endorphin highs. And God was like, no, I tried out twice. I didn't get it. I auditioned twice. Yes. Didn't get it. Thank God. I thought I knew. Thank God. And then God's like, I have this thing for you. Will you please stop? And so I have to continue to come back to and a practice for your audience, just to sort of support themselves, is having a note on your phone and just writing down any synchronicities, writing down any moments where God has intervened or you have divine intervention or you felt like you've been guided or you felt like there was like a soul nod or like a soul wink.
Yeah.
Just so you can have that when you really feel like you kind of need a little bit of love from the universe.
Last question for you.
Mm-hmm. Our last question?
Not like, I mean like final question.
Okay, I'm sad.
I know, me too. It's going by so fast.
What?
Guys, we're not even done.
I know.
Well, this is interesting because I think we're going back a lot right now. It's like your younger self.
Yeah.
But I really want to speak to where you're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How are you feeling? Like looking into just turning another, like, and I don't know when your birthday is, but kind of like on the other side of almost 30 because you've surpassed that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What is your experience right now?
My experience right now in life is so I feel like in the past 2 years, my life has changed and evolved in ways that I never saw coming. Mm-hmm. I was married. I'm now not. So I didn't, you know, technically see that coming. It was the biggest blessing of my life. But, you know, changed a lot for me. I also didn't see my career kind of shaping up in the way that it is, my relationships. Like, there's just so much surprise. So I think now I'm just like, I actually, my life has changed. I don't have any choice but to surrender. And I think I love that. And then I think I also don't love that because I'm like, can I plan something? Can I try and figure things out? So on the whole, I feel grateful and aligned. And I do spend a lot of days overwhelmed, burnt out, tired. Like I think we all do. So in this now moment, I feel a little overwhelmed and tired with all the things that I've taken on my plate, all the things Success Monster is making me do. Yeah. So she still exists in my life very deeply. But it is very weird to look at like almost 30, you know, having been around for 10 years now. 10 years, dude. Crazy. And just like how I've evolved so publicly and like the version of me that was in episode like 4 that was like had my husband on at the time and we were like talking about relationships and now I'm like, oh my God, girl, what are you like, girl? I was like, we were giving advice. Like it's just psychotic. Like I've said so many things that are like psychotic that I don't even – I can't even
– I love how real you keep it though.
I can't even tune into it. But it is what it is. I love myself enough to know that I can make mistakes and change my mind.
You're a human being.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to do all of that.
Yeah.
And the courage it takes to show up publicly online with everything that you're experiencing is freaking – the courage that takes, most people can't do, which is why you are who you are.
Yeah. I think in – you know, not even outside of me, but I think for anyone that wants to be a podcaster, YouTuber, creator, I do think that you – that's a truth.
Yeah.
That you really have to – have the courage to have your voice heard, to make mistakes, to do the thing cringe, to embarrass yourself. Yeah. Like the cringe level of what I've experienced in my life is top tier, beyond, bar none. But it made me who I am. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't change it for the world. And so if you do want that career where you're out there, you're expressed, it means you're going to have a lot of cringe moments.
Yeah, but like, fuck it.
I know.
You know, like cringe is
– I know.
Cringe is judgmental because –
that's true.
We're human beings, and if you think it's cringe, fine, but regardless, it's me.
I know. I think it's cool now. The internet's kind of making cringe cool.
I agree.
Thankfully.
Thankfully.
Like, I love – like, the internet's kind of amazing sometimes. Like, it will kind of take things back. It's like, actually, this is cool.
With every trend, there's an anti-trend.
So true.
So just remember.
So true. Like, yes, wellness, there's anti – yeah, that's a great point.
Right?
That's a great point. Okay, so what's your wish for this birthday?
My wish for this birthday – is to wholeheartedly love exactly where I am, regardless of what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Me, my business, my relationships. Mm-hmm. And I know we've said the word trust a lot, but trust.
Mm-hmm.
even when shit hits the fan, that it's showing up for a reason, and that every single person who was supposed to be in my life or out of it is exactly where they need to be. Mm. And I'm exactly where I need to be. Mm. Which is very cliche.
No, but cliches hit different when it's true. I've been thinking about that a lot. I'm like, dang, when you are embodied, cliches hit different. You're like, oh yeah. When you're just like, before you're like flailing on the ground, you're like, trust. Mm-hmm. But like when you're actually like, yeah, trust.
Yeah.
Like embodiment of cliches is just different.
And I think like not apologizing and not being like the good girl.
Hey, that's your crusade.
You know, and like not settling.
Yeah, that's your, keep up. Keep warm. Come on. You know what? And like, and taking all the shots and not being afraid.
Yeah.
And speaking my truth.
And pausing and celebrating.
Yeah, and being who I am.
Yeah. Wait, one last question because I need to ask this.
Okay.
Okay. How do you celebrate yourself? Like small wins, not winning. How do you celebrate you?
That's a good one. How do I celebrate myself? We have to celebrate. It is important for our brain. It is important for our lives. It breaks up monotony. It just helps us remind ourselves why we're doing what we're doing. And it really creates a positive reward system, feedback system for us to achieve bigger goals. So I celebrate things usually with friends. Like our book came out and I had like a party with friends at a restaurant and just like had a cake for myself. They like all said words. I was receiving all of it. Like I think one of the biggest things is celebrating in a way that you would celebrate your best friend. Mm. So if my best friend read a book, I would have a party for her. I would have a cake and we would say a bunch of words. I'm like, I'm going to do that for myself.
I love that.
I'm going to schedule the party. I'm going to get the cake. I'm going to have everyone do words and everyone's doing the words and I'm just soaking it up. I'm like, yes, that is so true about me. Like I receive all of their love. I just metabolize all of it. So I plan every one of my birthdays. I plan every one of my celebration dinners. I get the cake. I do the thing. Like I lead and facilitate my celebrations because it's fun for them. It's fun for me. I love it. And then also to something that's, you know, important for people is having relationships where people celebrate you. My man just hit like a really big number with work and he's just going. And I'm like, we are having a moment. Yep. We are having a full conversation about this process. We are slowing down. I'm getting you a gift. We are marking this moment. Mm. Like having people in your life that celebrate you is huge and that can support you in kind of getting out of the haze of the doing and the reminder of why we're doing this.
That's massive. And that's actually something I didn't feel in my last relationship. And I've been reflecting a lot on is like, what is my definition of celebration? Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we should all reflect on more often.
I agree.
Because life is so short.
Yeah.
And I really think like, regardless of what age we're turning, because we're always almost turning something, it's really about loving who you're becoming at any given moment and pausing and celebrating and just existing. Like life is so freaking short. And I'm like, why?
And you can make it fun. That's why I love celebrating. I'm like, what are we doing this weekend? Going to brunch? I'm like, let's have a brunch where we're celebrating something. Like it just makes life more fun and more interesting. And there is so much to celebrate. Even I pray over every meal with my friends, by myself. And that is a celebration for me of where I'm at, who I am, who I'm with, the food in front of me. Like every moment, and this sounds so cliche, so like do not crash your car because this is so cliche, but every moment could be a celebration. Like if you just really call attention to it and you have gratitude for it.
What is your favorite quote from your recent book?
Oh my gosh. I think my favorite quote is, you are not behind, you are becoming. I know. So good. It's true for you. I think so many of us feel like we're behind in life, but really we're just becoming who we came here to be.
Regardless.
Krista,
thank you for celebrating.
Happy birthday!
I love you.
Everyone hit up our girl on social media.
No, and I'm not saying this to be about me.
No, listen up. We're celebrating you.
We're celebrating like all of us.
So annoying. So annoying. Just guys, just celebrate our girl, okay? Just hit her up. Let her take a compliment.
You're incredible.
I love you. I'm so grateful.
I love you.
Thank you for being amazing and for leading, girl. Taking the torch. Got it. Okay, bye guys.
Thank you so much for sitting down with us today. This was epic. Honestly, a dream conversation for me. And for you at home listening, I just want to ask you, who would you be without this pressure to keep up with turning another age? So why don't you go be her, regardless? Reel drops every Monday on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple. Love you guys.